Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Voice for Spirit, live on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, monthly on the third Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. This is your opportunity to listen live with host Princess Deb. Deborah refers to her work as a voice for spirit to help those seeking enlightenment understand their own connection to the source of all life so they may empower themselves to create the life they wish to live. Deborah will discuss topics and tools on how to take your soul back to its original blueprint. For this show this evening, Deborah will be talking about the retrieval of the soul. So Deb, I welcome you to the show, and let's get started with some of those questions that you didn't answer last month.
Yeah, I can't believe we still have like questions left over, but I definitely want to address them this evening. I'm excited to talk about the retrieval of the soul. I get a lot of questions about that because I'm a shamanic practitioner and I perform soul retrieval. So I'm excited about finishing up those questions. I've had a lot of people like call me and say, hey, you didn't answer this, you didn't answer that. So let's get started.
Awesome. Well, Sue asked, in your life's journey, what has been your greatest learning tool? So let's go big. Let's start big.
What has been my greatest learning tool? I'm really curious about that question. I wonder if the learning tool is talking about what has gotten me to this point, or what do you think, Courtney? Or is it learning experience, or what tool has helped me?
I would say maybe a combination of both. You know, what is, the greatest tool that's gotten you to this point? And, you know, what is maybe one of the greatest experiences that you've had that maybe is a tool for you? Let's kind of do twofold on that.
Okay, so I would say my greatest tool to get me to this point is clearing my chakras. Like, learning the chakra system is really makes a big difference on how I see things. I play around with my chakra system where I think sometimes they tell people, you know, make sure your chakras are aligned, where, of course, I'm the wild and rebellious. So I kind of make one bigger than the other. And, you know, I play how the reading's going to turn out or what I see before. With me, necessarily, I don't need tools. I really channel most of the time. I usually use tools for my clients that are very visual. So I would say with anyone, my biggest tool is learning your chakra system and cleaning those, because then they make you more sensitive, so to speak, with your intuition. I think my greatest learning experience or to learn something, I want to say meditation, but I don't want to seem like meditation has really saved me because I'm still rebellious on that. I don't do it all the time. I would say journey. And journeying is a tool that shamanic practitioners use, and it's a type of meditation that we go into by the sound of drums. So we usually use drumming as a form of taking our brain into the theta to go into a type of journey that gives us answers. So that would be kind of like my go-to before I would meditate. In opening up, I guess, my third eye or, you know, my head chakra and crown chakra. I think that's my answer.
So if you see Deborah walking crooked, now you know why.
Exactly. You're gonna be like, she's been messing around with her chakra system and doing whatever the hell she wants to do. And this is the result, you know. I get it all the time from, you know, my people who basically do Reiki on me. I get Reiki done. I get pranic healing done. I do that often because that's so instant, and I'm very an instant person. And every time they do that, they're like, Deb, did you clear it? Did you balance your chart? Have you done? And I'm like, no. I did that one, but I didn't do that one. And they're like, oh, you can't work this way. But I seem to work that way. I don't know. I'm just weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you tend to work with a lot of other worlds. And Kim asked, how do you stay grounded in the physical world when you are in so many other worlds? I would say to answer that, you might want to talk about being in other worlds and what exactly that means.
Right. Before everyone's looking like, okay, she really is author rocker. Other worlds. I explained it in a sense because I'm a shamanic practitioner, we're able to go into different worlds. So different worlds would be the angelic world where angels, you know, your normal world where we're in a physical human, other worlds where there's entities, other worlds where there's ghosts. I mean, all these things exist because exist to me because I've seen them. And other people have other worlds like the alien world, and you can see so many different things that it's even hard to explain. But sometimes I explain it as like everything you see in a scary movie and everything you see in a fantasy world or fantasy movie. So how I stay grounded with all those worlds in the physical world, majority of time I have to pay someone to ground me. And that goes back to pranic healing and Reiki. I have two good, like, Reiki people that I use that I absolutely love. Patty Shaw of Coventry Creations in Candlewick, she is a Reiki master, and I love her. And I use Jennifer Fink, who also does massage. I always get massage done. And those are the two people that I trust as far as, like, Reiki, to do Reiki on me, and that I feel the difference right away. And then I also have Jennifer Rossi of Mind's Eye Healing Center. I absolutely love her. She's my go-to pranic person. Carrie Whitaker of Pranic. I've had her work on me, and Gundi, who also is owner of Mind's Eye Healing Center in Macomb. It gives me an instant grounding. And what I like about it, if I can't cleanse my chakras or align them, they do it. Right now I'm doing the show live from Baltimore, and I have a Baltimore person here named Terry, and she's excellent for Reiki too. But that is the tool that's best for someone like me who's on the go. I mean, I have two offices. I have an office in California. I'm building one in India. You know, I do need to sit down and learn how to cleanse myself, but when I can't, it's best that I pay someone else because then I can relax and just go ahead and feel my whole body. And you'll know when someone's like in your energy. You'll know when someone is like really doing the work because you feel totally different when you get up. And I'm definitely a hard person to work on. You know, I intimidate a lot of people. I get a lot, you know, before I get a lot of Reiki people who are really honest with me and like, oh, you were a tough one. I wasn't really able to do this. I wasn't able to do that, you know. I don't do it on purpose, but I think just the way that I'm equipped, it goes that way. And that's why it's so hard for me to ground, you know?
Well, it's a good perspective to take. And I think most people don't understand that in the community, right? That sometimes we are doing our work so much that it's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black. You know, we tell everybody, hey, make sure you do grounding and meditation, but yet we don't have time for it ourselves. So we seek help elsewhere.
Right. But you know, Courtney, I do with my clients. I'm so honest. I tell them like, you know, you need to do A, B, and C, and then I give them like that side eye and say like, well, I try to practice what I preach, and I'm going to tell you, I don't really do that, but you really need to do that, you know, and they kind of crack up sometimes because I'm so rebellious with it. You know, I kind of do what I want to do when I want to do, but then I get hit, and then it's like, oh, I got to see someone to really kind of like do what needs to be done.
But in the same sense, it just goes to show that we, you know, may be intuitive in any shape, form, or fashion, but we too seek help from other intuitives. That's just how awesome the community is.
Yes, we have to. I mean, in our world, we only have us, but it's really hard for our world because there's a lot of competition, you know, and a lot of people don't speak on it because they want to say you got to have love and light and you should send love and light, where I'm just like, oh, that's bullshit. There's a lot of competition that is ridiculous. And we have to be so we have to be so careful who we let into our energy because we don't know what their motives are. We've all experienced it. We came from a place where it was all, you know, competition. Me and you, Courtney, we came from a place that was all competition. And I was just telling someone the other day, like, the spiritual world is the most tainted, crooked world that I've ever experienced. And I came from legal, you know, and it's so important to ground yourself and to find those people that are about the soul and about love and just about growing the other person. There's always going to be someone better than you, you know, but that's the beauty of it. You'll have somebody help you through challenges, you know?
Yeah, and that is truly the beauty of it. You know, one person cannot do everything. You know, it's just not possible. You know, and when you kind of accept that. Yeah, when you accept that fact and roll with it, things get a lot easier.
They do. And a lot of things come to you, you know, and a lot of things you're able to share. But for us, it's really sad that some of us are really good and don't want to lean on each other because they're so afraid of what you may do with it, you know, or you may be better, you know, or you may steal this client, or this client may come to you. It's all growing pains, but in hindsight, it's such a waste of time.
I just had that experience in Casadega, no less. I went all the way down to Florida to go to Casadega. I mean, that wasn't the whole point of the trip, but to definitely visit Casadega. And I had that experience there. And I'm like, are you serious? I'm 1,000 miles away from home. Are you kidding me right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. Now, going into what you just talked about the grounding, let's talk about something that kind of goes with that. Terry asked, how do you protect yourself from all the energy you're exposed to in your work? Do you have a method?
Yes, I do. I protect myself. I know in my offices, I definitely have like an evil eye that's up. The people who don't know what the evil eye is how do I want to explain it? It's like a totem that is for protecting all negative energy that's projected towards you. And it looks like an eye. I also, with me as far as protection, I do the Our Father. I grew up strictly Catholic. I still have that Catholicism in me, even though I practice Hinduism. The Our Father is so very powerful that, you know, even when you're saying it, it's related to the chakra system. So it cleanses everything out and it protects everything. My triple threat kind of like protection is Psalms 23rd, the Lord is my shepherd. Once you say that, you are definitely protected from everything around and you can go about your day. You know, it's that thing where you look back and you wonder why your grandmother taught you your prayers, you know, and we have to really remember our grandmothers were so wise, where I come from a Catholicism background and then I come from a Christian background. You know, my family is Souls for Christ in Detroit, Michigan, and in Southfield, Michigan, Word of Faith. That's like my family church. So on that, I had that side, and then I had my Catholicism side. So I took different tools and methods and prayers to use with that. And then when I did the research on them, the prayers that I just told you were the most powerful to me, the Our Father, the Lord, you know, Psalms 23rd. Just basically, those are like shields that definitely help you with dealing with anyone projecting energy towards you. I still do the rosary. I still do Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. You know, those are the things that not only ground me, but also shield me. A lot of people you can ask, like in the Reiki world and chronic world, to send prayers and protection and to do some type of sealing, but I also wear jewelry. And I know you know about this, Courtney. We have stones that protect us. And I usually, with stones, carry stones in my bra. They blend in with my breasts that are huge. And you really can't tell what I'm wearing. I just have to make sure when I take off my bra that I don't fling them somewhere and they break something. But I do carry different stones in my bra and in my office, I use black tourmaline. Black tourmaline is my go-to for everything as far as gossip, negativity, shaking off that shit before you come in and talk to me. I always tell people in the corporate world to keep a piece in their office drawer. It shields them. It protects them. And selenite, I love because it's a healing stone and it cleanses the stones while they're attached to you or around you. So those are the ones that I use. And I know, Courtney, you can give some stones too, because you're very knowledgeable in stones than I am.
Yeah, there's different ones you can use. And a lot of people always go for black tourmaline because it is so potent. But you can use...
I love it.
Yeah, you can use jet. You can use onyx, which is starting to become a really popular one. Let's see. You can use black agate.
Hematite.
Hematite. You can even, I always tell people the easiest way to find something for protection is go for your blues or your blacks. And
I love that.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you're a girl after my own heart. You're shoving them in your bra. I do that too.
I mean, they're so great there. It's a whole different energy there. You know, and it's funny because if I use a different type of color stone, it will draw attention to the cleavage. So it's really weird to kind of play around with it where energy is drawn. And it's not just male energy. I mean, I even get female energy if I have a different type of stone there. I won't say what it kind of like draw. I'll save that for my topic when we talk about, you know, sex energy and sex magic and that kind of thing. But if I switch out a stone and put this other stone in there, I'll draw attention to my cleavage. It'll be male, female. It's all over the place. But stones are a great go-to, and you definitely have to know what stone you're picking up and what you're using
mm-hmm.
it for.
Yeah, and you can use herbs, too. You know, herbs have protective qualities, too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I know me and you, we use black salt around our home. You know, I use red salt because my grandmother was from the South, so I use red salt to protect evil out or if I know something's being projected. But those are things I'm going to talk about in that topic of the show when I do the candles, the sex energy, how to manipulate energy and that type of thing.
I'm going to ask a separate question that kind of goes with the one that you were just asked. You know, you do a lot to protect yourself. I know a lot of people always resort to goddesses, archangels, spirit guides. Is that something that you use as well?
Yes. Before I do anything, even when I travel, I carry a deck of cards in my purse. And I always tell, you know, readers that I mentor, and I don't agree to mentor a lot of readers, but I have like two I'm mentoring now. And I always tell them, you know, even if you're going to do a random reading, you always pray. You want to call in all your angels. My angel I work with is Raziel, and I call in Michael to protect me, and then Gabriel for my dead people, for mediumship. The other let's say spirit beings that I call in are my spirit guides, which is related to my shamanic, being a shamanic practitioner, dealing with soul retrieval. I usually call in a native Indian chief that comes in. I also have my Hindu that I just found out, you know, guy that was following me ever since I was little, Aziz Shiva. And then I have two other angelic beings that come in that really don't have any faces. I don't really give them names. Because I just want them to come in and do what their purpose is, and I don't want to discriminate in a sense of who should be doing what. I just call those in, and then it all comes together. And this is kind of really, I'm advanced. We're advanced, Courtney. We're totally advanced. Where someone who is just listening in and listening to me, it all starts in the process of finding your spirit, guys, and going through a meditation where you can see what angel is next to you, what angel guides you. No, you don't have to discriminate on who you call in. You can call them all in. Sometimes I do. I call in all divine beings, you know, God, Jesus, you know, whatever you may work with, whoever you feel comfortable with. It's very, very important that you call them all in to protect your surroundings so that you get true divine messages, because there are other worlds where you can get really dark messages.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Josephine asked, can you turn your psychic medium abilities off? For example, if you're dining with friends or out at an event. I know that is one of the most popular questions that psychics receive. So I'm curious to see what your answer is.
Josephine, I love my Josephine. And Josephine is going to basically tell my secret. And I'm saying it this way because I meet a lot of people who say, hey, I don't want you to read me. I don't want you to ever read me. I want us to just be friends one-on-one. Well, the secret that I've been carrying is that I can't really block that. Once you say your first name, where majority of people need first and last name to get into your Akasha records, and that's a whole nother topic. Once you give me your first name, whether I see you or not, I've already read you. So I can't really turn off. I go to different concerts and different things like that. I can really protect my boundary and not have my aura spread so wide where everything's coming in. But after a while, I'm just going to start reading. It's been with me all this time, so it's not going to be any changes now that I'm really on this divine path that I won't be able to read you. You know, I haven't told some of my friends that I've already read them. I already know what's going on. I like them to have their privacy and live their life. I mean, now that I'm on the radio saying it all to probably, you know, thousands of people, the secret is out. Thanks, Courtney. Thanks, Josephine. But now I've got to, you know, hopefully those people are not listening, but I read every day, all day, every day, all day. Is more hard to turn it off than to keep it on, not when you're in this life path. I've been gifted forever. It just hit me real strong 5 years ago, and now it's just on and popping. So there's no if, answer, but someone can call me now and say, tell me about Joe, and I'll get in Joe's head because I have the gift of reading someone's head. I'll get in their head and give you everything I got. I have remote view, and I can tell you where they're sitting at, what the walls look like. It just goes, and now I'm so used to it, it doesn't feel like a burden. So I hope that answers our questions. It never really goes off. I just tell people I won't do it, but it automatically happens.
Well, do you ever feel like you can turn it down to a point? I mean, I guess it's ask.
I would say no. I would say it's no such thing. In my world, it's no such thing as turning it down or turning it off. My gifts work like a spider web. Once I'm in, it just starts just growing and growing and growing. And it's okay. Then, you know, we'll stop talking about the subject, and then it's like a done deal. Then I have to go home and cleanse and make sure I don't have cords attached to me, which is a whole different topic because you get corded every time you meet someone and you talk to someone. A cord is attached. A cord is attached. And it's not me cording them. They cord me, and then I automatically read. Because I don't go and get up in the morning every day and say, look who I'm going to court. No, people usually find me and they attach to me, and then it just snowballs.
Well, let's kind of take a little bit of a different approach to this. Because Sarah asked a question, do you ever feel guilty for seeing someone's secrets or knowing something, you know, that maybe they don't want out there or they don't want to reveal?
That's a very good question. And that's from my sister, Sarah. Absolutely love her. She's one person I'm going to have on a show. She runs a ghost club over in Grosse Pointe. Me and her are doing a couple of paranormal investigations coming up. So hello to my Sarah. Sarah, that's a very good question. I do sometimes feel more sorry and more wanting to help a person. And I can't really say anything. It's like you have to be a keeper of all secrets, especially when you're dealing with close friends, because your friends are majority the ones that don't want you to see things. My world has moved so fast that I went into a different social status, and I'm surrounded around totally different people than what I grew up with or started with. And I can see how they live their lives, and they may not want people to see certain things, and I won't really say anything about it. Now, if you piss me off, that's a whole different story, you know, and like I think I said this before on the show, I don't really get pissed off, but I hate it when my friends are lying to me about something they said about me and I can see it. and I had to really contain myself and not getting so angry, because that's the freedom of the mind. Everyone's going to do it. You know, everyone gossips, everyone lies about something. It's just the way we are. You know, some people say white lies, some people do really lies. I don't really try to call people out. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to heal the soul. So certain things that I do see, I just let them go, because that's what they need to feed their soul. When it pertains to me, I necessarily don't say anything, but I may fade my friend out, depending on what it is and the context that it was used in. Or I get a lot of people who are just know me as a psychic medium. They don't even know me as a paralegal or a person who used to be a grant writer with Girl Scouts and do statistics. They don't know my background as far as education. So they really get excited as introducing me as this psychic, as this, as that. So I can see how their head spins in certain things that they want to hide, or certain things they don't want to hide, or they want to use me to get things out. And you really have to learn how to let the human have the human experience. Let the human move on God's path. Again, I always tell people, I am not God. I am of God, but I am not God. And you still have your journey. And it's a journey that I definitely can't interfere with. Or, you know, Courtney, we get the karma back real quick.
Uh-huh.
Real quick. And it's not worth it. It's really not worth it.
And it likes to stack for us, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I'm hoping that answers Sarah's questions. Like, yes, I see it all, but I may not see it all. And that's how I would sum up that question.
Mm-hmm. Amy asked a very interesting question. Have you ever experienced any negative responses from others when you tell them about your gifts? And if so, how do you deal with that?
Yes, I do. It goes both ways. I have some friends that introduce me as, this is Deborah's psychic medium, and sometimes it pisses me off. I don't want to be known as a psychic medium. I want to be known as Deborah, or like my family calls me, Princess. I don't want to be labeled that way. What I do when I'm in my groove, or in my I want to say surroundings of psychic mediums or different conventions or different seminars, then yes, I can wear that title. But I sometimes get pissed when someone introduced me as a psychic medium and I have an educational background that I paid a lot of money for. And I don't want to be stereotyped that way. Whereas in other sense, my family has a hard time dealing with it. They know what I do. I can say my family's really great. I do have a lot of support. And they do, you know, kid with me, or in our culture, we say they do clown me sometimes. You know, sometimes I'll go to family things and they'll say, okay, read him right here. Is he good for me or not? Because if he's not, I'm telling them to get out. You know, it's like on the spot or instant where you just want to enjoy something. So I can say majority of my family know that I'm gifted with spirit. And since they're so religious and I am ordained, I think they would feel comfortable more saying I'm ordained in, you know, I may prophesize over something instead of saying psychic medium. Majority of time, I don't use it as much. I may call myself a spiritual advisor. I may say a psychic medium. Or some of my friends, when we go out, I just, you know, they know me from the legal world. They'll just say, this is my, you know, badass paralegal. She can blah, 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 blah. Or when I work for Girl Scouts, she's a Girl Scout. She knows how to write grants. She knows how to do statistics. You know, talk to her about, you know, all the statistic things about, you know, girls and neighborhoods and nonprofit things. So I love that I have that background, but it is very, very hard because none of my friends ask what to introduce me as. They usually go ahead, whatever is feasible for them or whatever makes them comfortable, they'll introduce me whatever title they want to introduce me as.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can understand that big time.
Yeah. So it gets frustrating. Sometimes it gets frustrating. Sometimes it gets like whatever, you know. It's like I don't like to be a trophy, and my world has become that. And mm-hmm. I can't really refuse it. I've got to learn how to adapt with it, but it doesn't help in the dating world. because dating guys do not want to be introducing their girlfriend as a psychic medium. Not in my world. With a different social status, they want to introduce, you know, what degree do I have, and, you know, something that's more, I say, man-made, that makes them more comfortable, that they see. It gets really tricky.
Yeah, you know, I can relate to that because my husband works in the medical field. Most of his patients and his community do not know what I do. And sometimes he does talk about it. I just had somebody call that happens to be his patient and asked for a session with me. And it was so weird to me because I'm like, wait, my husband told you I was what?
Right.
You know, in the medical.
Us, Courtney, it's a little bit different for us because we are owners. You know, where we have to sympathize for that card reader that doesn't own anything yet. They're still reading in a mom and pop joint. They're still getting their experience. They're still getting their bread and butter from there. But for us, you know, your husband and whoever my mate is at the time, if the sky is blue, green, or red, whoever I'm with, they have the benefit of saying we're the owner of something. Mm-hmm. Or we own our own business. Which is a total different social status, you know, that makes people feel comfortable, you know. And I said I was going to have a show for those beginner readers or those readers trying to leave the corporate world and do what I do or do what you do. You know, it gets very tricky in our world. So for us, we can't really sympathize with it, but we can from the beginning. But right now, like I said, your husband doesn't have any problem with telling his wife owns two businesses. I mean, come on. You know, no one's going to have a problem with telling, like, you know, if they say psychic, they're going to come back and cover up like she's in three different, you know, she got two offices. She's got three offices going on and she's building one in India. You know, to them, it makes them feel sound like it's better than somebody in a mom and pop joint.
Exactly. You know? Yep. That is totally true because, you know, being a business owner just gives you that step up of respect. And it's sad that it has to be that way. But in the same sense, that's the way it is. You know, when my husband says, well, by the way, she owns her own business. That is her business. She's owned it for several years and she helps run half of another one. It's like all of a sudden their attitude completely changes.
Totally changes. It's so... It makes me angry sometimes, and sometimes I just let people think. I even go to this point, Courtney, when they say I'm a psychic medium, and I can tell because I read their heads and their mind, I can tell that they're thinking like mom and pop joint. And sometimes I just shock people because I can be an ass sometimes. Sometimes I tell them like, yeah, I read on that corner outside on Woodward and 6 Mile. I'm the one in the grass with the blanket. Come on, I'll flip some cards for you. You know, I hate that they think that way. And you can read, like, there's certain people that I meet, I can read their mind. They'll say they're there for me and they're my friend and, oh, I'm so great or whatever. But then, you know, if they're in a different social status or thing, they won't introduce me as this is what she does. Or even with me, when I'm there, I always laugh when they say, well, what do you do? I have to go through my whole spiel and tell them how many offices I have, and then it's good. Then it's like, you can be in our crowd, you know?
Yeah. Well, on that note, go ahead.
No, I said, but that's life.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, would you like to give your contact information?
Right. Yes, I would. I would like to tell people, last time I didn't tell people, you know, too. You can find me on Facebook under Deborah Psychic Medium. You also can find me on Facebook at Deborah J. Smith Psychic Medium. You can find me in Pleasant. I have two offices here in Michigan, in Pleasant Ridge. I have one in Macon at Mind's Eye Healing Center. You can reach me or my assistant at 248-881-3905. I also have a fabulous website that I'm absolutely happy with that you can book yourself at DeborahPsychicMedium.com. Or the pinpoints you can find me, I'm on social media all day, all the time. I have a Facebook, I have a LinkedIn, that's Deborah J. Smith. I have an Instagram, that's Princess Deborah J. So come on and hit me up.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we have two questions left, and then I know you definitely want to get to your topic for tonight. Hakeem asked, what kind of music helps you ease and relax when you're doing readings?
That's Hakeem. That's Hakeem from New York. Love his accent. You love that New York Bronx, you know, kind of like accent. I love my New York people. Him and I always talk about music all the time. I usually listen to all types of music to get me kind of like in the zone. In my office, I usually listen to Pandora, a calm like meditation, something that has like very low theta waves that takes you in a theta. I always tell someone when they're reading someone, you know, have like theta music playing because it helps the person calm down. It helps you more get into them. And it helps them more be open. I also listen to Native American drumming sometimes when I'm in my office. The other thing that I listen to is I love guided meditation. I don't really do strictly music, but I love guided meditation. The other thing that takes me into the zone is OM. I have a CD by Master Cho, and it has it's just chanting all the way through, and it takes my vibrations to a whole nother level as far as opening up the door to definitely read. So that's my answer.
And our last question was from Emily. What are the best parts of having your gifts, and what are the worst?
That's a very good question. Love that, Emily. So, Emily, I would say, and to all of you guys who are listening, the best part of having my gift is loving the soul and having the connection close. The best part of my gift that I'm very grateful for is that I can get closer to you than your mate that you've been with for like 40 or 20 years. The best part of my gift is having that complete intimacy of trust. I think with me, I get to experience the most intimacy of trust and honesty there is on earth, because most of my clients are like therapists or psychiatrists or psychotherapists, you know, and that says a lot about my gift and what I do and how I predict and how everything comes true and how close I am, you know, to the divine, because I'm mindful and I just really genuinely love the soul. So that's the best part of my gift. And I'm thrilled when I can predict and my validations are like 98%, 97%. Like that blows my mind. And I hate to say because it's really me grounding the human part of me to be a vessel for God. So it excites me that God can come through me that pure to give you what you need on your journey. So that's the best part of my gift. And saving someone's life from coming into my office and thinking about ending their life to leaving out and seeing life in a new direction. Like that's a gift that no one can ever compete with. So that's my best part. The worst part, I would say, would be, I think my mediumship, because mediumship is so intimate and you can tell how some people miss that loved one so much and you want them right here and there. And it's very hard for me to read when I could see a little girl who died and she was like 8 years old and she's coming through for her mom. And you just want to take that child and like bring them back. That's like the worst kind of like part. Even though when I do mediumship, people absolutely are floored and hitting the floor. But it is so hard for me to go home and just think about those lives and how they lost them, you know, or think about how many people love them or how many people are still grieving so hard or that those parents who only had that one child that got killed and how are they going to live, you know, and that's the hard part. What do you give them? The only thing I can give them is the spirit, you know, and tell them that was just the body that was here. you know, and to actually give them their loved ones. That's the hardest part because it's such a responsibility. Because when you're gifted as a medium, you can't fake that shit. You just can't, you know. And when someone comes in, it's hard for you not to cry. It's hard for you not to be angry at God with them at the same time because you're seeing this dead person here and they're telling you how they loved their life and enjoyed their life. And then all of a sudden it was taken, whether it was due to an illness or whether it was due to, you know, a drive-by or whether it was due to someone mistakenly, you know, having the wrong drug in their body. You know, it's so hard to even put a Band-Aid on that. That's the only way I can describe it. So that's the worst part of my job.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've answered all of the questions, so I'm going to give it back to you so you can talk about your topic.
Yes. So first, I wanted to talk about the retrieval of the soul, which is soul retrieval. I get a lot of questions about this because I'm a shamanic practitioner and I practice soul retrieval. A lot of people want to sign up for soul retrieval. So I really want to discuss this topic because it's so very important that you don't sign up for something you don't know about. Soul retrieval is a shamanic way of healing the soul. And soul retrieval requires really a four-hour process. What it is that if you've ever experienced trauma in your soul, I kind of always metaphorically say if you're a mirror and all of a sudden it gets shattered and you got these pieces and you know this mirror needs to be one again, you got to pick up all these pieces and put these fragments all back together to be one. Well, soul retrieval is like that. If you've had any trauma in your life as far as just as simple as falling off a bike, your soul jumps. You know, that's trauma to the soul that is in fear. And then you, when you grow up, you don't know why you don't want to get on a bike or why you can't look at bikes or why bike riding is not interest, you're not interested in. You know, those are things that you lose fragments of your soul at the time that the incident happened. Car accidents. Soul retrieval is very good for car accidents because when you're in a car accident, that is trauma. Your soul jumps. A lot, soul retrieval is very excellent for divorce when you're going through a divorce or you're already divorced. Very good for abused children if you've been abused. Very good for if you've been raped, you know, if you've been mentally abused, not only physically abused, emotionally abused. Soul retrieval is definitely for those fragments that you have left in your childhood or adulthood. And it has really stumped you in your life now. I'm giving you more of the short version of the definition, but it's a process where, with me, where I can go into your soul. I take you, it's a four-hour process, and I take you in a theta, and I jump in your soul, and I go and retrieve those parts and give them to my guides and my angelic beings that I work with, and they replenish them and put them back in your body. Now, it's really like a surgical procedure. I always tell people soul retrieval is like the movie, in a sense, when I go into your soul, it's so metaphoric. It's like the movie The Cell with Jennifer Lopez. I always tell people, watch that movie. This is what Jennifer Lopez did. You know, I love that movie because they really took the healing process of soul retrieval and turned it into a movie that was kind of like a fantasy world. But it is metaphoric that way, where I have to go in and retrieve the pieces and I have to get out in enough time to kind of like really heal, get those pieces back in your body and then get out. And then I actually blow them back into your body too. So there's different types of method. I go in, they retrieve the pieces, they can put them back into your body, or they can, while we're in there together, they can blow them back into me, where when I take you out of your soul retrieval, I have to blow the pieces back into your body. And it is a physical thing. Like, I will reach over and blow it into either certain parts of your body where they tell me to blow it into. But it is a four-hour procedure. It's like a doctor. I have to keep a file. I have to follow up with you within 7 to 10 days. There's a preparation sheet. There's a form you fill out while you're with me There's an aftercare sheet that you have to do. I don't do them often. I just don't say, yay, I'm going to do a soul retrieval for you. It is something that you have to come in and I have to review and I have to really decide, am I going to leave my body to jump into your soul? I thought this was very important to talk about because you don't want anyone jumping into your soul and not knowing what the hell they're doing. You know, you could really get messed up. It's the same as with psychics. You don't want to sit down in front of any psychic that can manipulate your energy. You want to do your research. You want to know exactly, are you ready for it? Because it's not necessarily you put these pieces back and all of a sudden you're like all good. You may have some time where these pieces are just like a puzzle are fitting back into your body and your body is so used to one way where you may have some really discomfort. You know, you may have weird dreams. You may have good dreams. You may experience like crying. You may not experience crying. But it's all mending those soul fragments that were lost. So it is a process where it's healing everything. And yes, eventually you will feel like a brand new person. So Courtney, have you ever experienced that? Have you ever, you know, heard of soul retrieval?
I have, and I can say that Deb is highly qualified for that. And I just want to point out to your listeners, you know, you want to work with somebody who is qualified as Deb. This isn't something that is taken lightly, and this isn't something that is, I guess the way to put it is, you know, some people view psychic readings as fun. Hey, I just want to go get a reading because it's entertaining or it's fun. This process isn't meant to be, you know, just lighthearted and fun. This is a very serious process to undergo. And that's why you don't offer them as, you know, frequent and so forth, because you do sit down with the people and you make sure that this is the right occasion for this. So I just want to kind of put out there the seriousness of doing something like this and that you definitely want to do it with somebody as qualified as Deborah, you know, not just somebody who says, hey, you know, let's do this and come in tomorrow and $100, let's call it a day. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And then, you know, the prices of soul retrieval start from like $350 and up because it's a process and you may have to come back for more than one. And usually when you come back, you're not paying that price again. But in that price, you are paying for your preparation, you're paying for the process, and you're paying for your aftercare. You know, where the aftercare may be something you may pay redundant for because it may be a method that you just want to keep your soul clean or do. And aftercare really consists of a Reiki treatment, a pranic treatment. Some people do a massage. Those are the things you definitely have to get done, like, after you're done with me. I don't really jump into it because I think Courtney can definitely agree with me with this. When we read a person, we take a lot out of our body. So in doing a retrieval, a soul retrieval, it's a lot. I have to fast before I do a soul retrieval. I have to fast, like, 3 days in. Because it takes so much out of you, you don't want to be complicit. And it is very scary. If you don't get someone, you can get lost in someone's soul. You don't know what's going to get attached to you. You know, you really have to be really good with it. Another person that I recommend for soul retrieval, which the next show I'll definitely give numbers, Annette. Annette is a friend of mine who I think she is out in Oxford, I think, or Lapeer. But Annette is phenomenal with soul retrieval, and I definitely have to talk to her about who she chooses and how she does it. But she's another person that's phenomenal with it. Another person I trust with like soul retrieval, Lori Lipton is very good with soul retrieval. Felicia Armstrong, she's very good with soul retrieval. Those are the people I kind of like trust in our area that know what they're doing and can give you the aftercare. Those are the people who have definitely had, I've seen their clients afterwards and seen their new life and their new birth and new beginning. It's very interesting when we come out. When we come out of it, we can tell you what we saw. We can tell you the metaphoric, you know, story of it. And sometimes with me, you actually see me in you. When I'm there, I try to camouflage as like an animal or something like that. And sometimes my people come out of, and they're like, I kept seeing a white bird, or I kept seeing this lion, you know, and usually that's me, or I'll tell you like, oh, that was me, you know, or you saw me because I was checking in, you know. It's really interesting. I do believe that everyone should, once in their lifetime, like, have one done. So definitely finding a practitioner that knows what they're doing. And, you know, I like to say the word certified, but I hate to say certified because so many people get certified in stuff that we just make up and print off certificates for. So I would say definitely go with someone who can give you the name of someone who's really good at it, for sure. Courtney, was there any people that were, have any questions about that, or?
Not at this time. You have a lot of listeners, girlfriend, but everybody's just tuning in. But I have to ask a question. If I come to you for a soul retrieval, do I get a sucker afterwards?
You, Courtney, no, because you're high maintenance, and I always have to, it always requires something. You, I would get up and pat you on the back and tell Dustin to have your sucker at home. Dustin is her husband, everyone. I have to pay Dustin, like, just have the sucker in the car. I'm going to, you know, shoot her out the door and put her in the car, you know. But I definitely love, I like doing it for people and seeing the results. And God usually have the right person to stumble in my door, you know, for it. And like I always tell people, don't get so crazy about that as, you know, a $300-$350 process. Majority soul retrievals will work with you as far as like payments if it's done. Some of them will definitely work with you with the whole total price period. It just depends. But soul retrieval is a very, very, very serious method to do on your soul. And you definitely want someone that walks with God, for sure.
How does this differ from past life retrieval? I think that would be a good question to ask.
Yes. And past life is totally different. Past life is like going into a trance and going in the back and just seeing a visual. Where soul retrieval, you're actually doing the work. And when someone's in your body, you can feel certain things. Your temperature will change. You may get hot. You may get cold. You may get antsy. You can actually feel like your body sometimes moving like jello. You can actually feel how deep you may sink in, where past life, you're more laying there and your head is just going in a visual that's backwards. Where with soul retrieval, there's no visual. I talk you in and then it's a wrap, it's a go. All you're going to hear is drumming and then your mind may go or you may go to sleep. But there's no I'm taking you back here and then you see this. Past life is totally, totally different because it's just a session where soul retrieval can go on for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure our listeners are curious. How did you get on the path of doing soul retrieval?
You know, I got into shamanic through in 07 through Lori Lipton's a shamaness here. And it kind of just caught me. I mean, in my background, my grandmother always said that we were like Cherokee Indian. And I think that kind of like caught me to it. But I was already seeing the different worlds of the Native American. So many spiritual worlds that are shown to you when you're young that you know that it exists. And as I got more into the shaman world, I knew the difference from what I was seeing. I was like, oh, that was part of the shaman. I got into animals. Animals are a part of the Native American culture is to have spirit animals. And when you see them often, they mean something. And for me, it always meant something. You know, it wasn't just that, okay, black cat that crosses you. It got deeper where I was seeing the same animal or weird or animal that not even supposed to be in your backyard, you know. And then when I would look up the meaning, it so would hit what was going on in my life or what was to come up. So that's how I kind of fell into this path. And then it just resonated with my soul. Like some people are Reiki masters and some people are pranic masters. It's just like, it just resonates with your soul. And you know, at one time in your past life, you were doing it. Or at one time in your past life, you were actually the shaman. You know, it becomes so easy. It becomes like second skin. And then you have the gift for it. You know, a lot of people can learn things, but a lot of people don't have the gift for it.
Mm-hmm. And just walk us through this process real quick. Is this hands-on? Is this hands-off? Do you lay down? Do you sit up?
Yeah. When you come in for soul retrieval, there's a blanket and pillow. We definitely make sure we have water. You are laying down on the couch. You are laying down. Some people may sit up. May have done it where they're sitting up. With me, you're going to lie down on the couch. I'm definitely going to start playing the Theta drumming music and take you on a journey in the beginning. And then from there, it's a process where you just kind of get lost. I bring you back. You'll hear my voice bring you back. And then you have to lay there for a bit to get your bearings. And then you get up, and then we discuss some things. And then I will tell you if I have to do another one. And I will tell you where to go for your aftercare. And then you're welcome. I work like a doctor. You're welcome to call me within those 7 to 10 days and tell me what your dreams were like, what you're experiencing. We may have to have you come back in and do something different, or I may have to go back in and see where we're having a conflict at. Usually it's never a conflict. It's just more getting used to the pieces going back into your body.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we're getting down to the last few minutes of the show, so I'm going to ask you to give out your contact information again and any other information you would like the listeners to have.
Sure. I would like to tell my listeners, like, my next show will be about, like, psychics, and I will be doing readings. I will be doing some card readings. I will be flipping some cards and different kind of divination tools I'll use, and we'll talk about, but you'll be able to call in and with a one question and me go through it, and it'll be fun. You can reach me at 248-881-3905. You also can book me online at DeborahPsychicMedium.com. Again, I am on Facebook as Deborah Psychic Medium, also Deborah J. Smith Psychic Medium. You can definitely friend me, request me. I absolutely love it. Instagram, I'm Princess Deborah J. You can Instagram. I love my Instagram because I'm more raw Instagram, I always say. Like, I use a lot of curse words on Instagram than Facebook. I try to be politically correct. But I love the fact that you guys are listening in, and the next show we're definitely going to have fun. And the show after that, then I'll finally do like the sex magic and the sex questions and, you know, how to stimulate the soul in a different way. But the next show will be all your questions. So definitely save up, you know, what you want me to look into and do some prediction. So that'll be really, really fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look forward to your next show, which airs June 20th. So definitely mark that into your calendars. And I also want to let your listeners know that if they're just tuning into the show, they can go to bodymindspiritradio.com, look for Voice for Spirit, and they can listen to this whole entire show, share it with friends and family. And they can also find all of your contact information there and listen to your first show that aired last month. I also want to let you guys know to stay tuned for the June issue of the magazine, where we actually featured Deborah in the Up to the Mic spot. So surprise,
yay,
Deborah, and definitely,
yay,
read that awesome article. Yeah, read
I'm
that awesome.
Steal like a whole shitload of them from stores and and autograph them for people. I'm just gonna steal them. You don't have to give them to me, Courtney. I think I get pleasure in more taking them.
For anybody who's just listening to this station, the magazine is free, just saying.
That's that rebellious psychic in me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Deborah, for an awesome show. And
thank
until
you,
next
you,
time,
you.
Definitely stay tuned for her next show on June 20th. And good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.